Sometimes when we go through difficult times, whatever is happening in our lives, sometimes when we have those dark periods in our lives, we long for somebody to walk with us. Somebody who has maybe had a similar experience, someone who has come through the other end, and we just want to get alongside them, find out what kept them going. How did you get through? What helped you? What hindered you as you went through that experience? How did you get through? What was it like? Now, again, you don't need to tell me, you don't need me to tell you that we're living in a period of uncertainty, a period of disruption. And many of us want to know just how do we get through? And not only how do we get through this, but as people who seek to be more like Jesus Christ, how do we get through this with grace? How do we come out of the other side of this still honoring God? We're left wondering as we look around us, what on earth is happening? What in heaven is happening? As we look at the ups and downs of the COVID pandemic around us. Jeremiah was a true, honest, and God-revealing companion for difficult times. And so that's why over these next few weeks, we're going to look together at the story of Jeremiah and see what we can learn together about living for God in uncertain, disruptive times. The prophet Jeremiah lived during a tumultuous period in the history of God's people. He was there for the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where the temple was that everyone looked to, because that was the high point of their nation almost. Jerusalem, this city that would never fall, Jerusalem falls. The people of God are taken away into exile to Babylon. Everything that could go wrong for the people of God did go wrong, and Jeremiah was in the middle of it all. Now, the background to this time is a struggle, a long struggle, a struggle that's been going on between those who sought to worship foreign gods and those who sought to worship the one true living God. Different kings in the nation of Judah pulled in different directions. So, for example, Manasseh was one of those who did terrible things in the nation to pull them away from the worship of their own God and bring them to this idolatrous worship of foreign gods. On the other hand, Josiah was a king who tried to bring reform back to the nation, who tried to bring people back to worshiping God. And this struggle was going on between one and the other, pulling one way and then the other way. Jeremiah was in the middle of this. Jeremiah not only announced God's judgment on his people, which would be terrible, but Jeremiah also lived through that judgment. Jeremiah lived to see his message actually coming to life, his prophecy being fulfilled. There was huge disruption to everything that was dear to these people. Everything was torn apart. Nothing that they recognized, nothing that they felt comfortable with was left. Everything was stripped away, and Jeremiah is slap bang in the middle of the turmoil. Can you imagine God saying to you, I want you to go and speak to the nation, and giving you an unpopular message? Jeremiah's message was, terrible things are coming our way. God is going to judge us. God is going to punish us. Not a very popular message to bring. But he was called by God. Jeremiah's life is part of a much bigger picture. The verses which Anne read for us this morning remind us that it's not really about Jeremiah, but it's about what God does in and through Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah is called by God, placed by God where he wants them. It's bigger than Jeremiah, and the words that Anne read for us show that, because Jeremiah was called before he was born. This wasn't some sort of knee-jerk reaction to some unforeseen crisis that's unfolding. Jeremiah is actually called before he's born. God puts into action something that has been planned for a long time. Jeremiah isn't called because he's had a great record in leadership. He's not called because he's known to be strong and to be able to stand up against all of the things he will have to stand against. No, Jeremiah was called before he was born. It's not about Jeremiah. It's about what God is doing in and through Jeremiah. God shows his grace, and he sets Jeremiah apart from before he's born to serve him. Now, if you read the first few verses of this chapter 1 of Jeremiah, you discover that Jeremiah is part of a priestly family in the village of Anathoth, just outside Jerusalem. And perhaps his life was mapped out for him. Well, Jeremiah, you'll follow in your father's footsteps. You'll be in the family business of the priesthood, if you like. But maybe he didn't see this upheaval coming. He didn't see his central role in speaking for God. But God did. And God called him, God set him apart before he was born. It's a bigger picture than the picture of Jeremiah's life. Think of all the words that have been used over these past months about the pandemic. Uncertain. Unprecedented. Dramatic. What are all those other words that we use to try and describe what's going on around us? But does God find these times uncertain? Is it unprecedented for God? This is the God who is all-knowing. This is the God who is not taken by surprise. This is the God who is not tied down and hemmed in by any sort of restrictions. This is the God who is at work in all that's going on around us. So the question for me and for each of us is simply, well, what is God calling you to in the midst of this? What is he setting you apart for? How is he setting you apart? Jeremiah hears God call, and his instant reaction was panic. Not me. I'm just too young. I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. Don't ask me. There must be other people, God, who could go and do this for you. And we're so good at making excuses. Wonder when God calls you what your excuse is. I'm only a, and you can finish the sentence. Or maybe it's, I don't have, and you can finish the sentence. We've got all these wonderful excuses that we cannot cope, we cannot manage. Don't call me to do that. Don't put me in that place. Don't set me apart for that. Don't call me God. And yet we need to remember, it's not about us. It's about God, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, gracious God who's working out his purposes. We can't cope. We can't manage, and that is quite true. But God can. And so God speaks into Jeremiah's life. We have the book of Jeremiah in our Bible. And in many ways, those are Jeremiah's words. They are formed in that crucible of where he grows up in Anathoth. His family around him, his society, his culture, the things that he sees around him, all those things shape those words. But at their very heart, those words are not Jeremiah's, they're God's words. And so we have in this book not the words of a man from years ago. We have in this book God's words coming to us, calling us. And it's not just the book of Jeremiah. Through the rest of the Bible, God's word comes to us day by day, calling us, challenging us, setting us apart. So God calls Jeremiah to a task that is not easy, to a task that will not be without its problems. So what does God give to Jeremiah to sustain him? He gives him two visions. The first is of an almond tree. Now again, living in the hill village of Anathoth, Jeremiah would have been used to almond trees. He would have seen them. He would have grown up with them. He would have known that the very first tree to flower on those hillsides was the almond tree. Well, it were still in winter, as they moved towards springtime, the almond tree burst into blossom. And here was this picture. What do you see? I see an almond tree. An almond tree bursting into blossom while nothing else is in blossom around it, because it holds the promise of life to come. It holds the promise of springtime and all that that brings with it. It's also a little play on words. The Hebrew word for an almond tree is a shakhed. The word for watching is shakhed. And if you're impressed by my Hebrew, you can find those words in a commentary as well. Don't be impressed by my Hebrew. So there's a little play on words there also. God is saying, look, I'm watching. I'm watching what's happening. I know what's happening in the nation. I know how difficult it is for you, Jeremiah. I'm watching you. But just as the almond tree bursts into blossom to tell you that better times are coming, so better times are coming for you. And every time you can imagine Jeremiah walking through those hillsides and seeing again a beautiful almond tree in blossom, and suddenly he's caught up with the God who watches, the God who knows, the God who is working out his purposes towards a better time. That was a great encouragement. It must have been an encouragement, a reassurance to Jeremiah, this vision of an almond tree. The other vision is of a domestic scene. A pot that's boiling on an open fire. And as he watches, that pot topples over because it's unsteady, and it topples over and spills out its contents, which pour across the floor. Maybe he'd seen it happen. But that's the vision he has. This pot that topples over and it pours its contents down from the north. It's dangerous, but it's limited. When that pot tipped out its contents, they were dangerous, they were hot, they could burn, they could scald, but it was limited. It would soon run out. It would soon cool down. The damage it would do would be limited. And so as Jeremiah looks to the north of his little nation, he sees Babylon starting to rattle its sabers. Babylon are on the move, and they will spill down from the north. But what they will do will be limited. Babylon will not have the last word. Evil will not have the last word. Judah will be devastated by Babylon, but it would be limited. It won't be the last word. God has that last word. Paul was to pick up this theme in his letter to the church in Rome when he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so he recognizes sufferings, just as God's vision of this pot toppling over recognizes the sufferings of his people. But we're reminded that these sufferings are limited, and they are nothing compared with the glory that waits for us. God reassures, comforts, encourages Jeremiah as he sets out on this difficult journey of speaking for God. God hasn't changed. God still sees you. God still watches over you. God never loses sight of you. His purposes will be fulfilled in your life. we sometimes sing of that love that will not let us go. Because grace has the last word. Not the difficulties we find ourselves in. Grace has the last word. Not the disruption in which we live. Not the uncertainty that causes anxiety. But grace has the last word. God is still at work, calling his people to live and to stand for them in these uncertain, unprecedented, difficult days. But at the end of it, it's not about us. It's about God and his glory. It's about what he does in us and through us. It's about the bigger picture. It's about God's glory that will be revealed in the days to come. Jeremiah, as he sets out on this difficult task of speaking God's word, of living God's word into the nation, shows us a way forward. It's not an easy way. It's not a way that will be pleasant at times, but it is the way to live for God in his grace, in his strength.